Second Peter. Second Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2. And tonight I just want to talk to you about some different things that I want you to look at some scriptures, and there's chapter 2 verse 2 is what I really want to look at and that focus on, but I want to kind of talk to you and give you some ideas of some things that are going on, and just trying to show you that the scripture is 100% accurate, and it's something that we need to be aware of nowadays. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time slumbereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." And there's a lot of things there that are going on that we could talk about in this passage of Scripture. But in verse 2 it says, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." When we look at this passage of Scripture there, I've noticed something that is happening in our professing Christian circles today. And what I'm noticing is that there are a lot of people that have a lot of different ideas that have begun to embrace doctrines that we have taught for generations. And when I say we, I'm talking about Bible-believing Christians, specifically Independent Baptists, that have been taught. And we can go back, way, way back. We can talk about the premillennial return of Christ, or pre-tribulational rapture, those type of doctrines, the doctrine of eternal security. And because of the fact that some of these people that have taught, for example, a lot of the prosperity people, for a long time they came out of Pentecostal ranks, right? It's where they came up from. The Charles Capps, the Kenneth Hagins, the Kenneth Copelands, and people like that. They came out of that group. And then, of course, you've got the Joel Osteens now. And he comes, I think his background's Assembly of God or Church of God or something like that. I have to go back and look at it. I don't want to say. And then you have a fellow by the name of Joseph Prince that comes up. And a lot of these people, they all have these, they all have this prosperity message. And, you know, the Bible tells us, and I believe it's in 1 Timothy, if we were to go over there, he talks about, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he talks about perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. So when we look at that passage of Scripture, we talk about that passage of Scripture, it's obvious that there's a lot of people that are, they've dressed it up, they made it look very pretty, but this idea that gain is godliness, right? We're also warned about people who will turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. In other words, lasciviousness is lust. In other words, basically, we have a group, we have people that are now in the culture calling themselves Christian. I see it a lot in social media. And you look at the things that people are doing, and you see what they're preaching, and a lot of them are preaching the prosperity message, and a lot of them are preaching the idea of this grace idea. They're preaching about grace, but this grace doesn't change you. They're only talking about the grace of God and having your sins forgiven and being, quote, saved. And it doesn't, the grace of God doesn't have to change them. The grace of God doesn't teach them anything, like it says in the book of Titus chapter 2. You know, the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared on all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And there's a bunch of people that are out preaching that they're talking about grace, and they drink, they cuss. You know, the Bible talks about us not having corrupt speech, right? And let no, you know, not having corrupt communication out of our mouth. Our speech is to be with grace, seasoned with salt. It's supposed to minister grace to the hearers. And people out there, and they're, you know, they've jumped on the bandwagon with this "Let's Go Brandon" thing, which does it, that they came out with, and some of you are probably aware of it. And basically, a bunch of people at a NASCAR rally were shouting profanities at the president. And I don't think they should do that. I don't agree with anything the president has done. But if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be doing that. Of course, these people weren't all Christians and everything like that. But they were shouting out and chanting profanities against the president. And they were out there. And the lady was interviewing the race car guy that won the race, and his name was Brandon. And so she tried to cover it up and said, "Oh, they're saying let's go Brandon." They weren't saying let's go Brandon. So they've started putting that out now and saying that among people. And they're saying it publicly, and you're seeing people that profess to know Christ, and they're saying that, or saying actually the profanity that was being leveled against the president. And that's not Christian behavior, but they all talk about grace, 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 grace. What is that grace doing for you? And we talk about the grace of God. We talk about the eternal security of the believer. And of course, one of the things we've always gotten is, well, you Baptists believe, or you people, you believe once saved, always saved. You believe you go do whatever you want to do and go to heaven. And it's like, no, we don't, because I don't believe that anymore. And I believe that I could do that when I live with my Father. I was His child, but I didn't get to do whatever I wanted to do. And I don't get to do whatever I may want to do. I can't just go and do whatever I want to do. In fact, if you can do whatever you want to do and there's no consequence and no conscience of it, then you're probably not saved. And that's the truth of that matter. And so people are, but a lot of these people that are teaching this grace, even though they've turned the grace of God in lasciviousness, they can go out and say whatever they want. They can go out and drink. They can go out and shack up. They can do whatever they want to do. And they're all covered by grace, God's grace. You know, we're just, there's no talk of holiness. There's no talk of repentance. There's no talk of any of these things that the Bible makes clear that are necessary. And so we see that attitude, and people rightly look at it and say, that's not right. And by reason of what they're doing, the way of truth is evil spoken of. I'll say the same thing about the rapture. A lot of these people that have taught that, they have began, even though they used to be amillennialist or postmillennialist at one point, a lot of them have moved over to a pre-tribulational rapture teaching that they have. In a lot of places, they really mess it up. But because of that, there is a proliferation of people that are now saying, "Oh, you pre-trib rapture people," and they're going against it. You know, you think you're just going to get out of here and go, and because that's the attitude they're showing, and so they're speaking evil of, and this isn't just the group of people that have always been. I mean, there's always been people that have been, quote, post-trib rapture, tribulation rapture, mid-tribulation rapture, fellow by the name of Marv Rosenthal that used to be with Israel My Glory or the Friends of Israel Ministry, he came out with what he called a pre-wrath rapture, right? He wasn't going to say it was in the middle and wasn't going to say it was at the end. He was just going to say it was, basically it was a mid-trib rapture is what it was. He repackaged the mid-tribulation rapture. And so people have had these different ideas and different thoughts all this time, but because of a group of people that have signed on to things like eternal security, things like a pre-tribulation rapture, that there is a growing number of people that are rejecting these teachings out of hand, not because they've studied it, but because they look at these people and their behavior and they say, that's not Christianity, so therefore all of that must be wrong. And we have to be careful of that. Because I have known some people that were independent Baptists and they've changed because of that. They've changed their doctrine. Now, I could spend a long time tonight going through all of these doctrines, and I will at some point. We're going to go through all the doctrines and everything like that. But the simple fact is, and the reality is, to the most common sense person, if you have a post-tribulational rapture, then you kind of know when he's coming, don't you? Because the Bible tells us that tribulation, that period of time of Jacob's trouble, is a 7-year period. So once it starts, you know, don't you? And he said, the Son of Man cometh in such a time as ye think not. And if it's a mid-trib rapture, we even know from the Scriptures, from the Old Testament, from Daniel, from Revelation, we know what the midpoint is, don't we? It's written down that we have things that are going to happen. And so just from the standpoint, the logical standpoint of nobody knows the day or the hour, the pre-tribulation rapture makes more sense. And when you understand that tribulation period is not dealing with the Gentiles, it's dealing with Israel. The focus of that time is the redemption of Israel. I'm not saying no Gentiles will be saved during that time, but I'm saying the focus is on Israel. The people that are sealed, the 12,000 that are sealed out of there, they're sealed out of the nation of Israel. They're not sealed out of the Gentiles. All right? And the remnant that is saved is the remnant of the Gentiles. And there will be people during that time that will go into the millennial kingdom. Now, of course, if you're amillennial, you don't believe in a millennium anyway, and so you really don't know anything about when. You don't really have necessarily a time or anything that says when Christ is going to come visibly and bodily to this earth. And so we look at all of the different things that are talked about, and you can have honest disagreements and all that. I understand that. But here's the problem I'm trying to tell you is we're having people that, because of their behavior and their embracing of certain doctrines that we have held, that those doctrines are now being evil spoken of. And so, but that's just a symptom. And the ultimate thing is, of course, the ultimate thing is when the world speaks evil of Christianity, and you're seeing that, aren't you? But the world has always spoke evil of Christianity, one way or another, right? And we've always had to deal with the failures of professing Christians and the world looking at. But now it's becoming more pronounced. Not in a way of, and this is what concerns me. It's not in a way of people having discernment and saying, okay, these people are saying this and they're teaching this. It's like these people are teaching it, their behavior's bad, so we're going to reject all of it. In other words, people that profess to know the name of Christ are acting the same way the world's acting. Isn't that the way the world does? The world says, those people say they believe this, but they don't. But their behavior denies it, so we're just going to reject them all out of hand. Well, that's what's happening among other people that profess faith in Christ. And a lot of these people are having, because of this, we are getting lumped in with them. And that's not the case at all, is it? You know, people ask me all the time, do you believe once saved is always saved? And I said, yeah, if a person is generally born again, I believe they're saved eternally. Because Jesus doesn't give eternal conditional life. He gives eternal life. And if my eternal life, I don't understand how anybody could say that you know, you can't work for your salvation. It's all of grace. It's all of God. But you got to work to keep it. If I couldn't work to get it, how in the world can I work to keep it? And I'm not justified. By the works of the flesh shall no, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. There's no way to justify myself by my works. Do we do good works? Should we do good works? Yes. And if you have genuine faith will produce good works. But they're not. But they're good works, not dead works. There's a difference between good works and dead works, isn't there? And we have to be careful. We have to be careful of those who reject it out of hand. And you also have to be careful of those who are just kind of living their life la-di-da, and I'm saved and I'm this and I'm that and everything like that. You know, when I came to Mississippi, I was looking for a Bible believing church, and I met a man when I went to work out at the shipyard. I met a man who invited me to church, and he was a deacon at a Baptist church in Ocean Springs. And he was a deacon there, and he said, hey, he made a big deal. I'm a deacon in a church. You come over. We want to have you over, and we want you to come. So I went to the church, because at that time, we were looking for a church. So I went there one night. And I went there by myself because it was really, really foggy that night. Kids were not doing well, so Sister Niece stayed home. And I went to the church there, and they had a nice service and everything like that, and I enjoyed the service. And then I went to work the next week, and that deacon who happened to be involved with the test and quality assurance people out there for Ingalls, I went out there and I was on a test call, and he happened to be there too, and they didn't have things right, and he was embarrassed and everything, and he let out a torrent of profanity. I left that behind when I got saved. And here he is, a deacon of a church. And he came to me and he said, how come you didn't ever come back to church? I said, because. I said, you're a deacon and you're sitting there spouting profanities. And I said, the Bible tells me I'm to let no corrupt communication come out of my mouth. Well, you know, we all have our failings. Well, of course we do. But the Bible also has qualifications for a deacon, doesn't it? I mean, we could go around and around on everything, but at some point we've just got to stay with the Word of God. And the whole point is, regardless of what I'm trying to tell you and what I'm trying to encourage you about, is we need to renew our dedication to reading and studying and applying the Word of God, because we are in all these places around us now. Like I said, we're going to be getting attacks from all kind of people. You're going to have to deal with what these people believe. I actually saw a lady, and she wasn't well spoken and everything like that, but she was actually on social media, and she was making it no bones about, and she was quoting scriptures, and she's saying, well, you people that don't believe in a pre-trib rapture, what about this scripture? What about this scripture? What about this scripture? What about this scripture? And I don't know if this woman, I don't know what this woman believes or anything like that. She may believe that she can live any way she wants to. I don't know. She didn't seem that way. But she was there. And she was talking about different scriptures. And saying, what about these? What about these? What about these? And I was kind of glad. Like I said, I don't know anything about this woman, and I don't even know her name. But she put it out there. But there's a lot of people that are now. I'm seeing a lot of people that are coming out and saying, you know, that the pre-trib rapture position is of the devil, and da 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 da, and on and on, and. And these people think they can live any way they want to, and in reality, the simple fact is that, you know, nobody's going to get to heaven and talk about their works, are they? Nobody's going to make it to heaven and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name cast out devils, thy name done many wonderful works? Nobody's going to do that. The only song that's going to be sung is, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign in the earth. That's what's going to be said. Amen. They're going to be talking about Jesus. Nobody's going to get there and say that they got there on their own. And faith, you can say faith without works, so you got to have works. But what he's trying to tell you is genuine faith produces works. Works are by what I judge your faith. And so if we look at our lives, and if you're looking at your life and you're looking at everything that's been said that you say and do and everything, and it doesn't match up with the Word of God, and you're not striving to change and desiring to change and wanting to become closer to God and wanting to become more Christ-like, if that's not in there, if your faith doesn't lend itself to you changing and using the grace of God to actually change and overcome sin and overcome the flesh and the world, then guess what? Your faith is dead. And like he said in James, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. In other words, how I behave. So we live and we go out and I'm not talking about somebody who's trying to struggle with dealing with profanity. I'm not talking about somebody who's trying to struggle with dealing with lust or any other thing. If you're struggling and you're fighting and you're seeking the Lord about it, that's good. But if you're just out there acting like it's cold, perfectly all right, and it's no big deal, then you're one of those people that because of you, the way of truth is evil spoken of. And that's what people have to do, and we have to look at that. There's going to be pressure from people who's going to say, you're going to get accused falsely about because of the behavior of certain people who have embraced doctrines that we have held for, like I said, for generations. Bible doctrine has been held all the way back to the time of the apostles. And people are taking them and they're throwing them and they're acting like they're doing exactly what people have always accused us of being. What the world's accused. They are becoming what it is. So there's that pressure from them to compromise. And then there's the other side is to change. Because other people are doing wrong about something, and they profess to believe the same thing we do in a particular area of doctrine, and they're doing wrong, so we need to change because we don't want to be associated with them. That's not the reason to change. The reason to change is when you study the Word of God and you find out the truth. And if somebody says something that's true, but their behavior doesn't match up to godliness, just because they're being ungodly does not make the truth wrong. So we don't change. We change not because of people's behavior. We change not because of people's failure. We change because we studied the Word of God and we find out that, hey, we were wrong. God was right. Let God be true. Let every man be a liar. That's when we change. We do not change because people do things to cause the way of truth to be evil spoken of. And I'll just give you a couple of doctrines that are very prominent. A preacher of rapture, eternal security, the doctrine of grace. Of those type of things, those three doctrines of salvation by grace through faith, those three doctrines are under attack. And there's a large number of people who profess to be Christians, and they talk about grace, and they talk about eternal security, and they talk about pre-trib rapture and the rapture coming and everything like that. And because of their behavior, people are looking at that and they're saying, well, because of their behavior, that can't be right. So what's the answer? The answer is be the people that preach the truth and live the truth. That's the answer. And then study the Word of God so that you're ready to give an answer to every man, a reason of the hope that is in you. Can you give somebody a reason why you have a hope that the rapture is coming pre-trib? Pre-tribulation? Can you do that? You ought to be able to give an answer to every man, the reason of the hope that's in you. Can you give an answer as to why you believe that your salvation is eternal and that you are eternally secure in Christ and that your salvation doesn't depend upon you? Can you do that? Can you give an answer as to why your salvation is wholly of grace and not of works? That's what we have to be able to do. And I just wanted to warn you tonight. I've been seeing this all week, and I've been dealing with it longer than that. But I've just a lot of it. I've been seeing people coming out and seeing things, and that people have put out. And you know, as you go study and you go look for stuff online, you see stuff and it catches your eye, and you go look at it, and you find some guy that's basically saying anybody that believes in a pre-trib rapture is of the devil type thing. Because, and you can tell because look at the way they're living. Anybody that believes by a salvation by grace alone and they believe in eternal security, you can tell because look at how these people here are living. And I'm seeing that. It's of the devil because of the way these people are living. Well, just because you know what a doctrine is and you don't live according to it, doesn't make it false. And that's something we need to understand. So when we look at that, I just wanted to realize something. We need to realize many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And I could give you a lot of other examples too. But we have a bunch of people out there who think it's perfectly fine to go out and drink and party and everything like that, and praise the Lord, hallelujah. They can go to the casinos, no problem. They can shack up, it's no problem. Go out and date and commit fornication, it's no problem. They can go out and they all claim to believe the same things we believe in a lot of these areas, but that's not true. And if your heart was right with God, if you understood the grace of God, it would teach you what? To deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. And to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what we're supposed to do. So the grace of God teaches us that. Our relationship with Christ teaches us that. Our faith teaches us that. So just something to think about. We have to realize that this is a reality as time goes on. And we're going to have to deal, you're going to have to deal with people like that. And you need to understand. So if you've got questions about any of this stuff, then ask them. Don't think, well, you know, somebody come and told me something and I don't know how to answer them. Don't think that somehow you're going to be looked down upon. Not everybody has to learn somewhere, don't they? And you say, well, I should have learned this a long time ago. Well, no time like the present, is there? Get in the Word of God and study it. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then we'll close the service. Father, thank you this day for each one that's here. Thank you for the Word of God. And I pray you'd bless each one with understanding. Lord, there's so many things that we have to deal with in this day and age. And I just pray you'd help us to be firm and steadfast in what we believe. And Lord, regardless what people do, just help us to believe and live what you've told us. And Lord, help us to be ready to be able to give an answer to any man, the reason of the hope that's in us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.